Praise God. Well, we have a Savior tonight. I said we have a Savior tonight. And He is with us. Aren't you glad He's with you? Praise God. Well, I hope that you are ready to hear the word of the Lord tonight. I feel a momentum in the spirit, and I feel that some things have been triggered, and something has been released, and something has been set in motion. And I believe that great things are in store for you, for all of us as a congregation. Amen. I just believe that. And I believe that God is sowing things in our thought life and causing us to see and enabling us to hear. And those that see and those that hear will declare what God is saying. And the Holy Ghost will even show you things to come. If you're glad to be a part of what God's doing now, would you just raise your hands and your voices? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. My Lord, I worship you. Oh, God, hallelujah, hallelujah. I worship you, Lord. Ooh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, God is the manufacturer of peace. The peace that would pass the understanding of a human being, that would transcend and go beyond your ability to comprehend and to understand. You see, God is peace. He is the God of peace. Therefore, nothing moves God. Nothing frightens God. Nothing makes God nervous. He is the God of peace. The devil doesn't intimidate or scare him. God is a God of peace. And He is able to release that peace into the heart of His children so that you and I can walk in peace, live and possess the peace of God, and allow the peace of God to possess the reins of our own mind. Well, in case you didn't know, Brother Kyle and his family are in Alabama. They took a few days to spend with Sister Kyle's family, and hopefully we'll be able to relax and have a time of refreshing and not have to answer so many phone calls. Hopefully there's no counseling sessions this week, but I thought, you know, you need to know that and also be praying for Pastor that he will be rested and he will be refreshed. You know, your mind can only take so much. Your mind can only take so much. And when you have a lot of stress, day in, day out, not just your problems, not just your personal situations, but everybody else's problems are being projected into your life, into your mind. And you're having to bear the burdens of many, many people. Let me tell you, it will stress you out. And some of you understand that stress will kill you. Stress will slowly erode and destroy and break you down. And God knows us better than we know ourselves, and that's why He said on this day, you rest. Because he knew that we would destroy ourselves if we didn't get proper rest. All right. We're not in therapy tonight. I'm sure all of you guys already know that. But it's not just something that the world teaches and doctors teaches. It's something that God teaches because he wants to take care of you. Amen. And therefore, he gives us instruction so that we can be kept and we can be blessed. You don't want to run out of steam before you get to your destination, do you? Of course not. Let's turn our Bibles tonight to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. And as I said earlier, I still feel a momentum in the Spirit. God's been working at this a long time. God has been working at this a long time. And God knows what he is doing. We don't understand most of the time, but God does. And that's why it's necessary to trust in him, because he is the pilot. He is the master builder. And the church is in his hand. Aren't you glad of that tonight? Ephesians chapter number 4. I want you to put this on the screen if you can. Ephesians chapter number 4. We're going to start with verse number 1. Read a few verses and then we want to pray together. I do feel that we have a responsibility, that there is a proper response to the voice of God, to what God is saying. I believe that God is really counting on his church. We are very important. We are a part of the plan and purpose of God. So let's read together Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. That's a powerful message in itself. Are we at Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1? I want to read it with you. There we go. Prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And then we're going to go all the way, I believe, to verse number 4. So just keep it up here. Verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness. Now he has given us instruction. Everybody say instructions in righteousness. With long suffering. If you're going to exist in God's church, you're going to have to be long-suffering. Forbearing one another. You're going to have to put up with a lot of stuff. You're going to have to put up with a lot of attitudes. Just, are you hearing me? Forbearing one another in love. Everybody say in love. Verse 3, endeavoring. Everybody say you got to work at it. Endeavoring, that means you got to be diligent. It's not just going to happen. You don't just sit back and just have church and it just happens. No, no, no. You put forth effort. There's diligence on your part. That's our responsibility. We, the body of Christ, are endeavoring to keep, to preserve, to maintain the unity, everybody say, of the Spirit. How? In the bond of peace. In the bond of peace. Next verse. Verse 4. There is one body. Everybody say one body. And one spirit. Say one spirit. Even as you are called in one hope of your calling. And I relayed some thoughts to Pastor today via email. And I said, brother, I've been praying and meditating and basically just seeking the Lord for Wednesday night service, and it didn't really matter to me if I preached or not. I've got a very special affirmation service going on right now with about 50 of our students, and I really wanted to be in that service, and I care very much for our students, our youth and young adults, and I believe in mentoring, and I believe in spiritual fathers. Now, we have many instructors, but we don't have many fathers. And so, but God, in this generation, you're going to see a coming together of generations. You're going to see a coming together of the fathers and the sons. And the children's hearts are going to be turned to the father. And the father is going to be turned back to the children. There's going to be a merge of generation. Because this current generation, we cannot do the ordered things of God without divine connection with the generation before us. They're still here, but there has to be a connection. And I'm speaking in the Holy Ghost right now, and there may be about 10 of you that can really comprehend what I'm saying. But I'm speaking it anyhow. So I told Pastor, I said, I cannot get this off my mind. And so I just settled that it must be the will of God that I teach on this subject, and I've taught and preached it many throughout the years, many times, and you have heard it many, many times, but the Lord has allowed me to understand it just a little bit better. And hopefully you will before this night is over. And so let's pray together and really try to somehow get your mind where your body is. Do you understand? Get your thoughts where your body is. Now, your body is in this building, but we want to get your mind and your thoughts and your spirit in this building and tune in to what God wants to do and to what he wants to say in this service tonight. Very, very important. Hallelujah. And especially in response to what we heard on Sunday from our pastor as he preached the word of God concerning revival and the things that God is going to do. We have a responsibility. So I want you to pray right now in Jesus' name that God would help us to obey and to fulfill this verse, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Would you pray right now in Jesus' name? Come on, if you know God, you believe God, you love God, and you want to see his will done in this congregation, would you begin to pray? Let's pray together. Lift your voices. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's stir this atmosphere up. Let's create an environment that is conducive. Amen. Hallelujah to the work of God and to the ministry of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that you would help me as an individual and also as a member of the body of Christ to do my part, Lord Jesus, in endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I pray for a release of revelation. I pray for illumination by the Holy Ghost of the Word of God and the direction for our lives and what you want us to know, to see, to comprehend, to understand. I pray that you would help us to tune in, Lord, and to truly receive, not just in our minds, but also in our heart, the very thing that you want to accomplish in us and through us, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. The power of God is here tonight. Amen. Where is his power? I want to tell you the power of God is concentrated in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. You've got great power stored in your body. It's called the Holy Ghost. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Somebody just begin praising God. Amen. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Come on, everybody, praise the Lord together. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. If we can't praise the Lord together, how are we going to have revival together? And if we can't have revival together, how are we going to get to heaven together? Praise God, praise God. I'm hungry. I'm gonna tell you right now. I could eat a piece of chicken. I could eat macaroni and cheese. Man, I could eat a chili dog right now with onions. I am hungry. I'm telling you right now. But I feel something in the Holy Ghost. Man, I'm telling you, I feel something so strong that I'm not able to contain it all, obviously. But I pray that what God is doing and what God is speaking, that you would receive, that you would just flow in the Holy Ghost. Amen. You don't have to just be some super spiritual superstar and fly to heights, you know, in the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus just on a Sunday or just on a Wednesday. You can wake up in the morning, regardless of how you feel, and you can begin to declare things in your day. See, you're trying to figure it out right now. You're trying to figure it out as to whether or not you actually believe that. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit. You are called in one hope of your calling. Everybody say one hope. We know that Jesus taught in the day of his earthly ministry, and he was working and he was healing and he was basically exercising the authority that he had, and he cast out devils and he done many miraculous things. He was unstoppable. Why? Because he was unified with deity. That is incredible revelation. The reason why Jesus was unstoppable is because he was unified with deity. A unified church is an unstoppable church. I said a unified church is an unstoppable church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church that God is building. You got to let God continue. You're not finished. You're not where you're going to be. But we are in the process of becoming. In fact, the whole earth, everything that has been created by God, is groaning. And they're waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. Those who are married and merged with deity. And who are able to walk and talk and operate and demonstrate the Spirit of the Almighty God. Would you clap your hands to the Lord? Jesus taught that a divided house would not stand. Any kingdom that wars against itself or is divided, Jesus said himself that that kingdom will not stand. It cannot stand. And so we see here that disunity or division is problematic. It is destructive. And of course, one prime example of that is when you look at the story of Achan in the days of the reign and the leadership of Joshua. How many remembers Joshua marching around the walls of Jericho? Had a great victory. But there was a man in the midst of the camp that did not share the same heart of the leadership. He was divided. He had either a double mind or a divided heart. And he did not walk in agreement with the leadership. And he took stuff that he was forbidden to take. And he hid it. He hid it so that no one would know about it. But God knew about it. And God does not honor division or disunity or discord. In fact, that's one of the things God hates the most. Because it opposes, it circumvents, it undermines the flow and the plan and the purpose of God. And so we see an example that they could not stand before their enemies when there was division in the camp, when there was a lack of trust, a lack of confidence in the leadership. They could not stand before their enemy. They were defeated. The Bible teaches unity, agreement, being in one accord. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verses number 10. I hope that fan over there is doing you real good, because it's not helping me. 1 Y'all okay over there? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing." Wow. That's pretty powerful. "Speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly," everybody say perfectly. Do you believe that's even possible? Must be, because it's in the Bible. But he says that you will be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Is the scriptures true? Is this attainable? Is this achievable? Can we acquire this, to be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment, having no divisions among us, and also we're able to speak the same thing? And there's a lot of people that are speaking, but they're not speaking the same thing. They're speaking based on their opinion, their ideology, their ideals, their, opinion. But I believe that there's going to be such a unity in the end time of the church that we will all speak the same thing, that we will be perfectly joined together, that we will have the same mind and the same judgment, and we will flow in the greatest display or demonstration of God's power and God's glory. Everybody say, the best is yet to come. Come on, say it in faith. The best is yet to come. Come on, there's going to be great glory revealed in this end time. And the latter rain, hello, and the latter house shall be greater than that of the former house and the former rain. Amen. It's going to be a combination. And we are going to see great, incredible things happen. In fact, Pastor was preaching, and he wasn't just preaching a sermon to make you feel good. He was prophesying by the unction of the Holy Ghost that there will be revival. There will be revival. Because if there is no revival, there will be no restoration. And how many knows there is going to be a restoration of all things? And before there's restoration, there must be a revival in the heart of the people. We've got to be so stirred, amen, that we are not comfortable, amen, in passivity. We are not comfortable in status quo. We're not comfortable with just going through the mechanics of churchianity. But we will arrive, amen, and walk in the power of the Spirit. And we will do exploits in the end time. Amen. We will do exploits in the end time. So we know the Bible teaches that we should be unified with God, with each other, and unified in the faith. We're coming to that. Unified in purpose, unity in hope, in one mind, and in also one judgment. And so my question this morning, and I've been dealing with this for quite some, well, I'm going to say God's been dealing with this for quite some time. And I spoke along these lines about a month ago in our youth group. And it was an overwhelming response to what the Lord was speaking that night concerning unity. So if I can put a title on this tonight, this lesson, the title is this: how do we achieve unity? We know the Bible teaches it, endorses it, sanctions it. It's a necessity. God desires for his body to be unified, not disunified, not discombobulated, not crippled or handicapped,
But God wants a unified body to fulfill his eternal purpose in the earth. And of course, the completion of that will be our time of consummation. So what is the recipe? How do we achieve unity, unity in the Spirit? How do we achieve this? Being perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment, being able to speak the same thing. So I begin to ask this question this morning. Everybody say, what's the course of action? Now, if you were here last week, Brother Kyle introduced that this month will be a month of intimacy in action, in works. Somebody say a book of Acts. Somebody say a church of Acts. That's what I want to be, Brother Powell. I want to be a church of Acts. Not just a church who just talks and just shouts and just sings good, but I want to be a church of action, a church that works, that we can move in the Holy Ghost, that we can pray for people on our job and see them healed, that we can carry the gospel in the grocery store, that we can carry the gospel, the message of hope, to our neighbors and let them know what God is all about. I want to be a part of a church of works, a church that is active in the Holy Ghost. Not just a praising church, but a church who prays and who can hear the voice of God and who can declare the voice of God into this dark world of despair. And I believe that it is set in motion. I believe that there has already been the striking of the match and something has been released and there's a prophetic word being fulfilled even as I speak tonight. The word of the Lord is coming to pass and you and I are a part of it right now. And it's going to grow and it's going to build and you're going to see greater and you're going to see more and you're going to see an increase and God's going to use you to accomplish it. Oh, clap your hands, everybody. Looks like you're trying to figure me out tonight. Don't try to figure me out. Just try to hear God. Just try to hear what the Lord is saying to the church. God is speaking. And so, now this, all of this didn't come out of my brain or my mind or my personal study. But I had to consult my elders today. Because I wanted to hear what my elders have to say concerning achieving unity. And so some of the things that I will say today in this short period of time that I have left will be from the wisdom of my elders. Hopefully, by the Holy Ghost, it'll just flow and you'll just get a hold of it. You see, this generation has an advantage. Oh, yeah. I have an advantage because all the people and the ministry and the experience that was poured into Brother Kyle, accumulated with his experience and his wisdom and what he has learned through the years, I am divinely connected to him, and therefore what it took him 20 years to learn, I can learn in 2 years. So I have an advantage. And the young people and the young adults and the young ministers that I mentor, they have no idea what they have access to. But I do. They have access to a great wealth of wisdom and experience. And there is something God is doing in the earth right now. Everybody say, right now. And he wants you to be a part of it. Not just in your body, but in your heart. He wants your heart, because you can do all the mechanics and have all the routine and the rituals and you know, be very religious. Yeah, you can do it, but your heart not be in it. You know the story or when Paul mentions that Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, it didn't say that Demas forsook the church. It didn't say that Demas forsook the ministry. It didn't say that. It said that Demas forsook Paul. He became divided. His heart was divided because he was so infatuated with the cares of this world. And he may have went across town and started another church, a church that welcomes all of the pleasures of the world and welcomes all of the, I got to be careful here, all of the ways and all of the traditions and all of the culture and all of the immorality. Maybe Demas went across town because he had great knowledge. You know, the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. If you're called to be an apostle, you're called to be a prophet, and God puts that ministry and that gift in you, he don't take it away just because you leave the apostleship, just because you forsake Paul. He don't take it away. But what happens is another angel steps in. And the angel of God that was assigned to your life to assist you in fulfilling the purpose of God has now been replaced by an angel of darkness. And that man will walk in deception. My God, have mercy. Somebody just wave your hand and say, Lord, help me. I don't want to forsake the ministry, the call of God, the purpose of God. I don't want to be divided from the place you have put me. My Lord, the Holy Ghost is just speaking in here right now. Praise God. I'm telling you, I'm speaking more than I know. Some of the things that I'm speaking tonight, I don't even know. Just the Holy Ghost is just quickening me right here in this service. And it's just, I hope that you can tune in and just hear what God's saying. Hallelujah. God's serious about building his church. He is serious, amen, about leading us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He is serious about having a unified body who is dedicated to him, who is in love with him, and who will manifest him to the dark world that we live in. Let's just put our hands together and praise the Lord for just a moment. There's such a foundational principle here that I'm beginning to understand, thank God, now more than ever. So, what is the course of action? I'm going to just speak in general, and then I'm going to give you some details. The course of action is this. We got to find out how to have a right relationship with God and a right relationship with our brother. And if we can accomplish that, we will have unity. We will have unity as a result. So here it is. Let me break it down. Now, I may have to move my podium up here a little ways because some of you may not be able to throw up that far, but you may get me here. So let me back up a little bit because I'm going to be very open with you. I'm going to be as transparent as perhaps the Lord will allow me to be. Tonight, some 20 years, God's taught me some things, and some lessons that I've had to learn are very, very hard, but I'm learning, and I'm not the man that I used to be. I'm not the man that I used to be. One thing that we have to do if we're going to achieve unity as a church, in body and also in spirit. The first thing I'd like to share for just a few moments, and then perhaps if the Lord's willing, we'll move on to the next thing. There are several things that we need to do in order to achieve unity. Now, it's been taught, it's been preached for years. Our spirits have been provoked to believe that we need to be unified. But now we're going to find out how we do it. How we achieve unity. First thing I'd like to share is this. If we are going to achieve unity as a congregation, as members of the body of Christ, if we are going to be unified in the Spirit, then we as individuals are going to have to learn how to make peace with our past. And I know you're waiting. You're just waiting, bated breath, just waiting. But I want you to understand this. I hope that you get it more than I got it. I hope you understand it better than I do. If we are going to have unity, we are going to have to, as individuals, learn how to make peace with our past. One example, now you can study the story on your own, is when you look at Joseph. Joseph was the favored son. He was the one that, you know, his daddy made that special coat for. You know, that we call it the coat of many colors. You could see Joseph from a long ways. He was highly favored of his father. But yet his brothers were jealous of him. And they didn't appreciate his revelation. They didn't understand what was going on in his life. They misinterpreted him. Therefore, they mishandled him. Hello? A lot of the reasons why you have been mishandled, even during your church life, is because people didn't really understand you and your destiny. Let's just raise our hands for a moment. Praise God. There's a lot of things and situations that we mishandle because we misinterpret. We don't understand. I had a preacher tell me just recently, he said, I was praying for this man. And he said, all of a sudden, this man, you know, he got his deliverance and he got better and he was doing well. But yet, several weeks later, he was right back in the same condition. And so we prayed him through again. And then several weeks went by and he was back in that hole again. And then several weeks, it's just like a vicious cycle. And then all of a sudden, I guess in his frustration, he began to pray and he talked to God. He said, God, why can't we help this man? Why can't we, keep this man delivered? We're doing everything that we can. And the Lord spoke to him and he says, because you are binding the very thing that I loosed in his life to develop him. Sometimes we can work against God and not even realize it. Sometimes we can come together and just have church as usual and not fulfill the will and the plan and the desire of God. But there is coming a revival. There is coming a revival. And unity is going to be a part of revival. And when we're unified, we're going to start thinking like Christ. We're going to start speaking like Christ. We're going to start demonstrating and acting like Christ. And we're going to see the results that Christ saw. And greater things shall ye do. Oh, I wish somebody would get excited about this word right now. Hallelujah. I feel a prophetic anointing right now in this sanctuary. Praise be to the King of glory. Hallelujah. And he will inhabit the praise that will ascend in this sanctuary right now. Just a few moments. Just spend praising God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. God is making a miracle out of a messy situation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I could just put the mic down and just worship God until we got ready to go home. I feel so full of God right now. I feel so full of the power of God. I feel so full of an anointing right now. I feel the power of God is here. Amen. To destroy some yokes. And some of the yokes are just mindsets, imaginations. And the anointing can destroy them and cast them down. We want the anointing to destroy every yoke that is not of his yoke, so that we can be yoked and unified with Christ and his purpose. Hallelujah. And fulfill our mission while we're here on earth. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody just wave to God. Hallelujah. We've got to make peace with our past. And Joseph was betrayed. He was hurt. He was injured. And he suffered. And he had every right. He had every right to seek vengeance. He had every right to become bitter. He had every right to seek down his brothers and destroy them. But he had time alone with God. And while he was in that prison, he was in isolation. He was in time out. God orchestrated it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And God got him all by himself. You see, because if God releases you before your time, little shepherd boy, you'll make a mess of things. Hallelujah. You will circumvent the plan of God. It might take God longer to get things done if he releases you before your time. It's not when you are ready, it's when he says you're ready. Not when you think you're ready. When God says you're ready, he will release you. He will open a door in your prison. He will open a door in your situation. It may be an entrance and it may be a way of escape. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, God. This is too much for me. But there he was after all those years. That happened when he was a young man, perhaps a teenager. Perhaps in his upper teens, I'd say in between 16 and 19, he was basically left for dead. You know the story, sold into slavery, Potiphar's house, falsely accused. Then he served all that time in prison. He was there, and God began to talk to him. Amen. God has a way of talking to you in your circumstance. God has a way of opening your eyes when things look dim and dark. God has a way of revealing his heart to you when you're broken and when you can't feel his presence, when you're not hearing the preaching, when you're not experiencing the jubilee when the choir sings. God knows how to talk to you in those private places and in those dark areas. And God knows how to talk to you and get your attention. He knows how to reveal himself to you. And so Joseph, at the age of 30, he steps into his new level. He steps into his next role in ministry. You see, he was the minister in prison. Man, he was the one God preacher in prison. He couldn't interpret his own dream, but he was used of God to interpret the dreams of others. You see, your gift isn't for you. Your gift is for others. Your anointing isn't for you. Your anointing is for others. The gift that operates in you is not for you. It's for others. I'm telling you, you need to receive that revelation right now. That's why my gift don't work on me. I got to get you with your gift to pray for me. Now, if God grants it, then fine. But I want you to have understanding tonight. Man, I'm venturing way off, Brother Powell. I'm venturing way off. But hopefully, your spirit can comprehend something and drink something that your soul needs. Joseph was confronted with his past. There was a famine. Everybody was hungry. And so his past comes creeping up on him. And there he is, facing the very thing that supposedly messed him up and sidetracked his ministry. He is now facing his past. But God had already been working on him. Hello? And I got a friend, a preacher friend, and he was ensnared, messed up, end up in prison. He's in prison now. But God's grace is sufficient. And they're now baptizing people in Jesus' name in that prison. Don't tell me God can't bless you where you are. Oh, hallelujah. Don't tell me God can't open a door in your darkness. Don't tell me God can't send an angel. God can go anywhere. He can go places that you cannot go. So here Joseph is, confronted with his brothers. He could have had them killed. And they would have never known who he was, because they didn't recognize him. They didn't. They did not recognize him. Why? Because they tried to erase it. They tried to pretend it didn't happen. They didn't want to deal with their past. And so they hid it, didn't deal with it. But if God is going to produce in you the thing that he needs for you to fulfill his purpose, you are going to have to face your past. You're going to have to deal with some things that you have been hiding from God and from hiding from others. Now, I'm not saying there's got to be a commercial during the Super Bowl to advertise your problem. Hello? Cost too much money. But I'm trying to help you tonight to understand that if God is going to do in you and through you what he wants to do, and one of the things we have to achieve is unity, then we have to deal with our past and make peace with our past. Now, you may need counseling. You may need counseling. If you read in the Bible, over 200 times the word counsel, counseling, counselor is mentioned in the Bible. Over 200 times it's mentioned. That should ring a bell. That sometimes, in order for you to fully deal with the past properly, you got to have some counseling. Now, I advise Christian counseling if it's going to be counseling, because you may get hooked up with somebody that you just don't know. Of course, pastor counsels with people every week. And a lot of the reasons why he's counseling with people every week is because they never dealt with their past. They're still living with situations that they never were healed of. And if you never get healed of it, you will always reproduce it, either in your mind or through your mouth or through your relationships and how you treat other people. In fact, your daddy, your mama, and whoever raised you, what you saw, what you heard, how you were treated when you were small, whether you were neglected or you were abused and you weren't hugged and you weren't pampered and you weren't taken care of properly, you lacked, you know, on being properly nurtured. When you grow up, you're going to have some behavioral problems. Now, many people, in fact, most people won't even detect it. They just say, oh, that's just how they are. There's a reason why they're the way they are. And some people come to Christ and they just said, I'm sorry, God, I want to serve you. You know, they believe the word and they're baptized. And they're baptized and their sins are washed away. Notice I said their sins, what they did, what they thought, what they said, sins that they committed, they're washed away. But hear me. Some people never deal with what happened to them. God deals with the sin. But even after you come into the church, and I've witnessed it for years, even after you come into the church and your sins are washed, you got a lot of baggage, a lot of issues. Don't know how to interact with people. Don't know how to have proper relationships with people. All kind of issues, behavioral problems, attitude problems, just, you know, emotional problems, anxiety. And all these things are bundled up in you. And the reason why you're not healthier in your mind and in your emotions and even in your spirit is because you never made peace with your past. If you make peace with your past the way God wants you to make peace with your past, then things will be settled and done and you will be healed. And when the situation comes up or when their name's mentioned or when something reminds you, it don't stir up any negative feelings at all because you've been healed. You divorced your past. Now, there was a process. But now because you're divorced from your past, you can be married to your present. Because if you never get married to your present, you will never know what your future will be in God. Ah, Lord. I feel like a Holy Ghost therapist right now. We ought to praise the Lord. Come on, let's all praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. When I came to church and church came to me, I came to God and God came to me, I was filled with the Holy Ghost, the real Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, had my sins remitted. But listen, I still had my daddy's attitude. I still had my daddy's genetics. I still had anger problems. I would mistreat people. 5 years into the church, still got problems. 10 years in the church, still got problems. 15 years in the church, still got problems. And what I'm realizing is if you never deal with what was sown into your life, if you never get healed, then you will reproduce it. You will reproduce that seed. And your children will suffer if you don't deal with it. Your marriage will suffer if you don't deal with it. The church will suffer if you don't deal with it. Now, this is tough, brother. I feel like a doctor right now. Let's just raise our hands to the Lord. Ooh, my Lord. Now, I didn't come here with an agenda. I didn't come here with some big game plan. All I wanted to do is just obey God. That's all I want to do. I just want to obey God. In fact, I didn't even want to preach. I want to be honest with you. Because I know that I'm not perfect. In fact, the doctor that you go see, the doctor that you got sewed up by, that doctor is not perfect either. But God's given him knowledge to work on you. So, hello. Let's clap to the Lord. Praise God. Making peace with our past. That means not hiding it, not concealing it, not suppressing it, not ignoring it. Now, don't take this out of context. You need to pray and ask God for wisdom to know how to deal with your past. Because you might need other people involved to help you. Does that make sense? We don't need to ignore it and pretend it didn't happen. Because if we just suppress it, hide it, ignore it, you know, and never deal with it properly, and never get fully healed, and never fully recover to the point where you could just walk in peace, walk in confidence, just trust the Lord and just stand strong in the Lord. In the power of his might. You can't stand in the power of his might without relationship. So you got to make peace with your past, because if you don't, that situation, that thought, that attitude, that whatever it is, that hurt, that wound, what it will do, it will, this is my own words, is kind of like cancer. It will metastasize. It'll start spreading to different parts of your body, your mind. Then all of a sudden you got this attitude, always questioning. And it begins to basically degenerate, corrupt you, your mind, your thoughts. Demoralizes you. It will also cause anxiety. One reason why a lot of people have anxiety problems. Now I know some of it's, Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying everything is spiritual and everything's a devil, because you do have a brain. And I'll tell you right now, if you got hit in a brain, if you got hit in the brain hard enough, the football players, they have it all. Why do you think they wear helmets? But I'm telling you, you x-ray the brain of a football player and that brain's messed up. They got all kind of scar tissue and they got anger problems and they're always irritated. And they got attitude problems when they're not, behind the camera or in front of the camera. They got all kind of problems in their relationships. Why? It's not because they have a spiritual problem. Now they might. But it's because of the injury to the brain. You ever seen somebody that had a brain injury? And then next, you know, months later and years later, they're slow. Their speech is slurred or slow. And, you know, and maybe there's some paralysis. Now, we have some medical people here tonight. They can tell you. So don't blame everything, you know, and say it's just a spiritual condition. I'm not saying that everything's a spiritual condition. Everything's not a devil. Do you understand? I don't even have time for that. In fact, I'm not even qualified. You can see medical professionals, and they'll help you understand the brain a little bit better. Is this okay so far? All right. It might take a little bit here. But we really must deal with our past properly. Confession, knowing how to release it. Now, I'm not giving you all of the tools, and I'm just telling you this is something that needs to happen in order for us to achieve unity. Confession, forgiveness, knowing how to release it, knowing how to accept God's mercy and what God says about you and what God thinks about you versus what you say and what you think about yourself. You know, there's power in speaking. There's power in words. Amen. There really is. Life and death's in the power of the tongue. All right. And so we need to allow the Spirit to work in us. In fact, I just thought of this today. Maybe Jesus gave it to me. I don't know. He does give us things, and it's possible that he put this in my thought. But the whole reason that Jesus came to the earth was to deal with what happened in the past. Are you hearing me? The whole reason why Jesus came to the earth is to deal with what happened in the past. He wasn't just wanting to brush it under a rug. He came to deal with it. He came to deal with sin. He came to deal with death. He came to deal with disease. He came to deal with the works of the devil. Why did he do it? So that there can be unity between him and what he lost. That's why he dealt with the past, so that there could be unity, so that there could be marriage, so that there could be proper relationship. And he endured it. It was difficult. He lost He lost his flesh temporarily. He died. He was put in a tomb. Why did you do that? Why did you deal with the past? And I could hear the Lord say, because I want a future with my church. I want a marriage. I want a bride. I want to be unified with that which I lost in the garden. I long to be with my people. I long to be reunited and have my relationship restored. And the only way that is going to happen is if I deal with my past. And he dealt with it through death on the cross. He dealt with the past through the shed blood. We ought to stand to our feet and give God praise right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Because God came in the form of man, and he revealed the hidden plan. My God and Savior came, and Jesus was his name. He came to redeem us. He came to get us out of hell's pawn shop. He came to get us out of the junkyard and clean us up and restore us. But he couldn't do it until he dealt with the past. Music, somebody come up here. Does anybody know how to play piano? I don't. You don't want me up there. You know how to play? Well, get up there, girl. Sister Sarah, she is a soul-winning machine. She is our campus leader at FAU in Boca. Just play something soft. Hopefully it's turned on. Make sure that keyboard's turned on. I got to close. It's 8:27. And I know you guys are late for your ice cream and cookies. Yeah, just kind of. Yeah, there you go. Okay. She's doing good, huh? Doing good. Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the shame, the hostility. The Bible even says in Hebrews 12, consider him. Consider him. When you think about his sufferings and what he went through to deal with your past so that you and I can have a future, when you consider him, the Bible says, lest you become weary and faint in your minds. Let me give you a quick example in closing. Now, I've got a list of things I was going to deal with, only if the Lord would permit. And I don't know, maybe I took more liberty than he was giving me. I don't know, but I just feel the Holy Ghost so strong and rich in here tonight. And perhaps just a passion and a desire to really deal with this first topic. And that's making peace with our past. For example, a marriage. Slow it down a little bit. Just kind of like dun, dun. Once in a while, just kind of like strum it like a harp. You know, there you go. Okay, because if there's any evil spirits, we want them to be driven out. Praise the Lord. But listen to this. A marriage, which is the union between a man and a woman, okay? Union between a man and a woman, a marriage. Somebody say holy matrimony. It will not be, now I want you to listen to this. Now don't let me lose you. I want your attention for just a moment. A marriage will not be healthy and happy unless we've made peace and settled things with our past mistakes, hurts, relationships, etc. Now you can just add to the list. Now I'm sure you may have a few things to add. There needs to be honesty. There needs to be trust if the relationship is going to be right. Now let me say this. If we're married, in other words, if we're connected, now I want you to think of your relationship between the Lord, you and your relationship between the Lord, the relationship between God and his church. If we're married, if we're in a union, a relationship connected through intimate relationship, but we're still entertaining other relationships, still entertaining things of the past, fantasizing, wishing we were with someone else. Does that happen in our world? Hello, church people. Come on now. Are you a part of the human race? Of course you are. We all got brains. We all got chemicals. All men have testosterone and some other chemicals and hormones. And women, you got hormones. And we've seen the manifestation of that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But we're not going to go there tonight. We don't have time. I'm not qualified. But if we're still entertaining things of the past, we are not truly faithful to the one we claim to love. In other words, when you're in a relationship and you're still entertaining these ideas and you're still having these imaginations and you're still fantasizing and wishing you were here and wishing you were with that person, then you are not truly faithful to the one you claim to love and the one that you're supposed to be married to. Now, I'm comparing that to the relationship that we're supposed to have with God. Amen. God wants one bride who is honest, who is trustworthy, who is loyal, who is unified, is faithful to him. And we're not, listen, I want to tell you right now, I have no regrets. I'm glad to be in the church. I don't wish to be out there. I don't want to go back to where I came from. I don't want to do the things that I used to do. I don't want to have the thoughts and the ideas and the imaginations and fantasies of the past. Amen. I believe in my spirit that I am content. And as I walk day by day, I'm learning to remain content in my relationship and in my status with God. I want to maintain unity with God. Now we have some incredible ministers. Now, whoever's getting, y'all can come on up here. Go ahead and start working on this. Just ignore them. And it's 8:30. In fact, you can just hold on. Just hold on. We're fixing to close and we're just going to pray. There is such a unity among our ministers. I'm going to tell you, That's a fact. Man, Brother Powell and Brother Luma and Brother Vieira and Brother Waller, and I'm talking about our platform, you know, leadership, and with Pastor Kyle, there is such a unity. There's such a unity. We love one another. We appreciate one. We respect one another. We recognize the call and the gift of God in each other. There's such a unity. And I was thinking today, if we can have unity up here, then we can have unity in here. It is achievable. It is attainable. But as individuals, you got to make peace with some things. Some things have to be settled in your life. Because listen, your past, if it's not dealt with properly, it's going to affect your relationship first with God, and it's going to affect your relationship with your brother, with the church. In Jesus' name. And how can we love God who we cannot see if we cannot love our brother who we can see? What do you mean love? I'm not talking about filial love. That's man's love. Imperfect love. Filial. I'm talking about agape. That's the kind of love we can have one for another. In fact, Peter had to deal with his past. He had to revisit his past. And there he is in the presence of Jesus. And Jesus said to him, Peter, lovest thou me? If you look at the word, it's agape love. Listen to this. And Peter responded and said, Lord, you know that I love you. But he used the word filio. So Jesus is talking about a different love. Jesus is saying, do you agape me? Do you agape love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. You know I love you. You know you're my man. But if you look at the original word, it's filio, which is imperfect love. It's just affection and care. And so the Lord says it three times. And then at the end of the day, the Lord said, okay, if you love me, then, you know, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, do my will. You see, there's a difference between God's love, agape, and man's love, man's ability to love, filio. But see, what's going to happen is there's going to be a union. There's going to be a merge. There's going to be a coming together. There is going to be such a unity where the love of God is going to flow through your life. And listen, God's love doesn't waver, doesn't change based on its condition or based on how it's treated. Let's raise our hands to the Lord. I've got way too much information and too little time. But I know the Lord has spoke to you tonight. Just begin to talk to the Lord in response to this word. Now, some of you, I'm giving you some instructions right now. Instruction in righteousness. Some of you just need to go home tonight and talk to God about your past hurt, your past pain, how your daddy treated you. There are many people in the world today that have had some type of abuse, been not just neglect, but some have been abandoned, some have been molested, and it's affecting you even today. It's affecting people even today. And I feel the Holy Ghost is saying, if you want to have a powerful future in God and in the body of Christ, you've got to make peace with your past. You've got to be healed from all the guilt and the shame that you carry from day to day. Oh God, I know that I'm speaking through this mic, God, but I hope that you're speaking to the hearts of your children. Hallelujah. Come on, we've got to achieve unity. We can do this. We can have unity in the body, unity in the spirit. Oh, but one of the things that has to happen in some of us, especially our individuals, is we have to learn how to make peace with our past. Hallelujah, hallelujah, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm asking you, God, tonight that you would help us as individuals, Lord, to somehow learn how, get the help we need, Lord, so that we can be healed, so that there can be closure of our past, so that we can be married to our present and our purpose and our future in God, in the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We want to achieve unity, Lord. We believe it's the will of God. We believe it's the will of God. If you believe it's the will of God, would you clap your hands? Hallelujah. Amen. We're out of time. We need some people up here on the platform. But we had some, about four or five different things that needs to happen in order to achieve unity as a body and unity in the spirit. And perhaps if the Lord will permit, we'll continue that. But I'll be sharing it with my mentees, because God is doing something in this hour. God bless you. You can dismiss yourself. Shake hands. Be friendly. Bless and encourage one another. Amen.